All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our lesson tonight will be insha'Allah ta'ala the last lesson of the creed of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. May Allah raise his rank. In our lesson, we'll conclude explaining the whole creed, which is the creed of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the majority of this nation. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, said, what means? The religion of Allah on earth and in the heavens, the skies, is one. It is the religion of Islam. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 19, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. It means certainly the only religion accepted by Allah is Islam. Allah Ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 3, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. It means Allah accepted Islam as the religion for the slaves. The religion which is followed by the angels in the heavens and the believers on earth is Islam. Islam is the religion of all prophets from the time of Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, up to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after the Prophet till the day of judgment. The religion that all the believers follow is Al-Islam. So those who followed Prophet Nuh alayhi salam were Muslims. Those who followed Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam were Muslims. Those who followed Prophet Moses were Muslims. Those who followed Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, were Muslims. And those who follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are Muslims as well. So when you say a believer, you are referring to the one who is following the religion of Islam. The one who does not follow the religion of Islam is not called a believer. He might be believing in something, but he won't be classified as believing in Allah Azza wa Jal. Only the one whose belief in Allah is correct can be called a believer. The one whose belief in Allah is wrong, incorrect, cannot be called a believer. Allah Ta'ala said, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the interpreter of the Quran, as the Prophet called him, said the ayah means all people were following the religion of Islam. The first time blasphemy occurred amongst human beings on earth was after the death of Prophet Idris alayhi salam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was the first prophet to be sent to the non-believers. Before him, Adam alayhi salam and all his children were Muslims. When Adam died, Allah gave prophethood to his son Sheath, after Sheath to Idris. After the death of Idris alayhi salam, people worshipped the idols. And that was for the first time blasphemy ever committed on earth amongst the human beings. Allah sent Prophet Nuh alayhi salam to bring people back to the religion of Islam and to abandon worshipping the idols. He stayed amongst them, calling them to embrace Islam and to leave out worshipping the idols for 950 years. He lived more than 1,000 years, but he stayed calling them to come back to Islam, to worship Allah and not to associate a partner with him for 950 years. Only few embraced Islam. There were about 80 something. Then the rest were destroyed by the flood. So only the believers survived at that time. Then after a while, after the death of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, people went back to committing blasphemy and worshipping other than Allah. Allah sent another prophet to renew the call of Islam. Then another prophet, then another prophet. So every prophet would be renewing the call of Islam. He wouldn't be coming with a new religion. No, it's the religion of Islam, but it has been renewed by the prophets. At the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the prophet received the revelation at the age of 40, he was the only Muslim on earth. He was the only Muslim on earth. So he started renewing the call of Islam. You know how in some books, when they want to talk about religions and they want to say the chronology of religions, they want to show which religion started first. I've seen this in many books. They put Buddhism first, Judaism, Christianity, then they put Islam. They also say that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is the founder of Islam. Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam came with Islam, which is the religion of all the prophets. He renewed the call of Islam. He didn't come to people with a new religion. He renewed the call of Islam. So the ayahs in Surah Ali Imran, Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam, which means the only true religion accepted by Allah is Islam. The other ayah, وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It means whoever chooses for himself a religion other than Islam, it won't be accepted from him and he will be a loser on the day of judgment in the hereafter. So the only religion that is accepted by Allah is Islam. Then Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi said, Islam lies between exceeding the proper limits and falling short of what is required. between likening Allah to the creation and denying some of or all of Allah's attributes, between Jabr and denying Qadr, and between feeling safe from Allah's punishment and feeling despair of Allah's mercy. What a beautiful explanation. Very short, however, it has a meaning that would be explained in lessons. Our religion is a religion of moderation, in the middle, not on the extreme. All those who deviated from the right path, they took some extremes, but our religion is in the middle. So concerning the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, we clear Allah from any resemblance to the creations. At the same time, we do not deny or negate any of Allah's attributes. That summarizes the stance of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Where do they stand? They stand in the middle. The Mushabbiha, the Mujassima, the anthropomorphists, those who likened Allah to the creation, they are called Al-Hashawiyya as well, those who attributed organs to Allah Azza wa Jal. They took the extreme by misinterpreting the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and claiming that the attributes of Allah are like the attributes of the creations. So they would say, Allah speaks with letters and sounds and language. Allah goes up and down. They say Allah has a shape and volume and quantity and mass. They say Allah sits. They say Allah moves from one place to another. They misinterpreted the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal in a way that they likened Allah to the creations. Sitting is amongst the attributes of the creations. It's not amongst the attributes of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never mentioned in the Quran, and the Prophet never mentioned in the Hadith, that term, jalasa, which means to sit. This cannot be attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, may Allah raise his rank, said that the one who claims that Allah sits is a blasphemer. Even if he says, but not like the way humans sit. Because angels sit, not like the way humans sit. Animals sit. So this is an attribute of the creations. If you were to ask those deviants, what is it mentioned in the Quran or the Hadith, that term, Allah jalas wal ayyazu billah, which means Allah sat. You know what they say to you? They say to you, Allah Ta'ala said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Allah said istawa, Allah didn't say sat. They misinterpreted that term istawa, although it has 15 meanings in the Arabic language. Some of the meanings are physical meanings, like to settle, to sit, to establish on. These are physical meanings, cannot be attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal. You find in some English books, when they come to this ayah, they translate it as to mean Allah sat on the throne. I've seen by my own eyes, some wrote, Allah established Himself firmly on the Arsh. Some said, Allah rose over the Arsh. Some said, Allah mounted the throne. That word in English even, to mount, they use it when mounting an animal. To mount the camel, to mount the horse. And they attributed that to Allah Azza wa Jal. Those are called the Mushabbiha, who likened Allah to the creations. Now all these translations are not the proper interpretation of the ayah Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Because the word istawa means in the Arabic language to preserve, to protect, to guard, to subdue, subjugate. Now, other than the meanings that are like to become ripened, to become straight, and the like, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah wouldn't accept any of the meanings that are physical meanings. So it's like, put all the meanings, because the Quran is in Arabic. So what does that word mean in Arabic? It has 15 meanings. So if you do a checklist for all these meanings, you would accept the meanings that befit Allah Azza wa Jal, and you would eliminate all the meanings that do not befit Allah Azza wa Jal. So to say sat, you say no, this does not befit Allah Azza wa Jal. Sitting is amongst the attributes of the creations. To become straight, that doesn't befit Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah said about the plant, فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ, went up straight, grew up straight. This cannot be attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal. Istawa, to become ripened. If you know the Arabic, even the delicate Arabic, you know that they use that term istawa to become ripened. They say istawa shajaratu tin, the fig tree became ripened. That fig became ripened. So that term istawa is used here as well. If you are cooking, istawa ta'am became ready to be eaten. Of course, these meanings will be necessarily eliminated because they do not befit Allah Azza wa Jal. When you are left with the possible meanings that befit Allah Azza wa Jal, such as to say Allah subjugated the Arsh by His power, meaning Allah controlled the Arsh by His power. That befits Allah, because everything in this universe is controlled by the power of Allah, the Arsh and other than the Arsh. Here a person might ask you, so why would Allah specify the Arsh? The one who has the Tawheed would say, because the Arsh is the biggest of Allah's creations. So Allah Azza wa Jal is informing us, and that's a type of emphasis to the fact that everything is controlled by the power of Allah. So when a Muslim reads this ayah and understands from it that Allah is telling us that this magnificent Arsh, which is the biggest of Allah's creations, is controlled by the power of Allah, what am I in comparison to this magnificent creation? So I'm also controlled by the power of Allah. So that's what a believer would understand from the ayah. If you were to say Allah preserves the arsh. Preserve the arsh because the arsh does not perish. It is preserved by the power of Allah. It doesn't perish because it is the ceiling of paradise. So that's a meaning that befits Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. So Allah is Al-Hafiz. Amongst the names of Allah is Al-Hafiz, the one who preserves. So Allah preserves the arsh. If you say Allah controls the arsh by His power, which means subjugated the arsh, that's in Arabic Al-Qahir. Allah Ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. So Allah Al-Qahir and Al-Qahhar, these are amongst the names of Allah. But those who say Al-Jalis, the one who is sitting, it's not amongst the names of Allah. Have you ever heard of a Muslim called Abdul Jalis? There is no Abdul Jalis. There is Abdul Qahir. There is Abdul Hafiz. But there is no Abdul Jalis. So those who misinterpreted the verse and claimed that it means Allah sat on the throne have in fact likened Allah to the creations. And they mentioned that in their books. Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in his fatawa that Allah sat on the throne and left a space that is equivalent to four fingers to allow Prophet Muhammad to sit next to him on the day of judgment. In another occasion, Ibn Taymiyyah said that Allah sat on the throne and filled the whole throne. So no space left. In another occasion, he said that Allah sat on the throne, and even, wal-iyazu billah, he said, part of Allah was outside the boundaries of the throne. To say that Allah is bigger, wal-iyazu billah, in size. He said even, and we have the book, he said this is not impossible for Allah. He said when Allah sat on the throne, the angels carrying the throne felt the heaviness of God. And they were shaking. Then Allah gave them the power and they were able to lift the arsh. He said, had Allah willed, wal-iyazu billah, He would have sat on the back of a mosquito and it would be able to fly with Him, wal-iyazu billah. That's what he mentioned in his fatawa. And these are the books that are published by his followers. So that's the belief of Ibn Taymiyyah and those who follow him. This is called At-Tajisim, anthropomorphism. To give Allah physical attributes and physical features, wal-iyazu billah. There was a person called Abu Ya'la Al-Mujassim. He used to claim he's Hanbali. He's like Ibn Taymiyyah, but he was before him. Copy of Ibn Taymiyyah. He was before him. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi refuted his claims. And he mentioned that Abu Ya'la has contaminated the madhab of Imam Ahmad with a filthy belief that the whole river of Dijla in Iraq wouldn't be enough to purify it. Abu Ya'la, the one whom Ibn al-Jawzi refuted, said once that Arabic statement, أَلْزِمُونِي فِي اللَّهِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ سِوَى اللِّحْيَةِ وَالْعَوْرَةِ, meaning, describe Allah with what you want of the attributes of a human beings, save the beard and the private part. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal has everything we have, except for a beard and a private part. That's the belief of the Mushabbiha Mujassima. So when it comes to the attributes of Allah, they misinterpreted them and they took him in a way that they likened Allah to the creations. We have the Mu'tazila on the other side, on the other extreme. They denied the attributes of Allah. They said Allah is not attributed with power, is not attributed with will, is not attributed with knowledge, is not attributed with hearing and sight. They negated the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So they took that extreme, the opposite extreme. Those are Al-Qadariya, Al-Mu'tazila. The Mushabbiha, Mujassima, Hashawiyya took the other extreme and they likened Allah to the creation. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are in the middle. That's the religion of moderation. They confirmed the attributes of Allah without likening Allah to the creations. They said, Allah sees. But the way Allah sees is not like the way we see. We see with our pupil, with this organ. Allah doesn't need this organ. Allah created these organs for us. Allah hears without an E. That's what Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah said. They are the majority of this nation. They are in the middle. So look at this brief statement by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi. He said, between likening Allah to the creation and denying some or all of Allah's attributes. So we don't deny the attributes of Allah. We confirm them. But we say in a way that befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, when we say Allah sees, yes, seeing is an attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not like the way humans see. Some people these days, from the Mushabbiha, when they mention explicitly what they believe about likening Allah to the creations, some people would repel away from them. Because the true believer would repel away from them, wouldn't accept what they believe, what they say. So they have come up with something to polish their black belief. But they won't make it white. If they polish the black, it's black. To polish the belief, they use now a sentence which does not save them from being anthropomorphists, mushabbiha. It doesn't save them from falling into blasphemy, which is, but we don't know how. That's what they say. So they would say to people, Allah sits on the throne, but we don't know how. They would say, Allah goes up and down, but we don't know how. That addition they make does not save them from being mushabbiha, mujassima. And they use these ayahs or hadith and they want to take them literally. And if you don't accept to take them literally, they say you are mu'attil, like the Mu'tazila, those who negated and denied the attributes of Allah. And we explained to you what is the stance of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why they added the sentence, we don't know how. If they were to take everything literally, what would they do with the verses that, if taken literally, would negate what they believe? Such as, they say to you, Allah Ta'ala said, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, and they say it means Allah is in the sky. You tell them Allah Ta'ala also said, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. So literally it means Allah is with every one of us wherever we go. Allah Ta'ala said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبِلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Literally means Allah is closer to us than the jugular veins that we have. It doesn't mean Allah is stuck with our necks. Doesn't mean this. So when you tell them Allah Ta'ala said that, they say that means by His knowledge. Not physically. It means by His knowledge. So Allah is closer to us, meaning Allah knows about us more than what we know about ourselves. That's true. But why did you interpret this ayah? You didn't take it literally, but you took the other one literally. Why didn't you say about the ayah Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, it means Allah subjugated the Arsh by His power. You want to say that Allah sat on the throne. But when it comes to this ayah and other ayahs as well, like the ayah about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he left his people in Iraq and went to Palestine, what did he say? He said, Inni zahibun ila rabbi sayahdeen. So literally it means I'm going to my Lord. But he went to Palestine. So if they want to take this ayah literally, it would mean that Allah is in Palestine, not above the throne. Then they would say to you, no, this ayah doesn't mean this. So what does it mean? It means I'm going to a place where I can worship my Lord, to a blessed land, because Jerusalem is a blessed land. So I'm going to that place. So why did you interpret this ayah? You didn't take it literally. You said it means I'm going to that blessed land to worship my Lord. But when it comes to that ayah, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, you want to say it means literally Allah sat on the throne. This is called tahakkum, following the whimsical thoughts. They have a false belief and they want to back it up. So when they come to something which they can interpret in a way, of course it's misinterpretation, but they can allude people to think that this is the meaning of the ayah, they would interpret it in a way to suit their belief. When it comes to another ayah that refutes their belief, they say it doesn't mean that. It's strange that they say to you, if you interpret the ayahs of the Quran that refer to the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, they say that means you are negating the attributes of Allah. In the hadith narrated by Muslim, it says that Allah Ta'ala said, so it's a Qudsi hadith on the day of judgment, Yabna Adam مَرِضْتُ فَلَمْ تَعُدْنِي قَالَ وَكَيْفَ أَعُودُكَ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ مَرِضَ عَبْدِي فُلَانَ فَلَمْ تَعُدْهُ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ لَوْ عُدْتَهُ لَوَجَدْتَنِي عِنْدَهُ. So Imam al-Nawawi, the one who explained Sahih Muslim, he said the term يَبْنَ آدَمْ مَرِضْتُ, which literally could mean literally, I became sick. and you didn't visit me. But it doesn't mean that Allah says to the slaves on the day of judgment, O my slave, son of Adam, I became sick and you didn't visit me. You know, the Arabic language is very wide and there are metaphorical meanings, figures of speech in the Arabic language that is more than any other language. Imam al-Nawawi said, the hadith means, Marittu, my slave became sick. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attribute the slave to Allah, this is to show the importance of visiting the sick person. And the continuation would mean that had you visited him, you would have seen the reward for visiting him, the one that I give you. So if they say we take literally, what would they say here? Allah gets sick, wal'ayyadu billah. Would they add now, but we don't know how? That silences them. That's it. Tell them this hadith, and that silences them. They say Allah Ta'ala said about Iblis, when Allah created Adam and ordered Iblis and the angels to prostrate to Adam. The angels did. Satan, Iblis refused. There is an ayah that says, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ. And they take it literally and they say it means, why didn't you prostrate to what I created by my two hands? So they say Allah has two real hands, but we don't know how. Tell them, in Surah Fussilat, Allah said about the Quran, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. This is about the Quran. So Allah in this ayah said, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ, about the Quran, مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. So that's two hands, literally, for the Quran. Would they say that the Mus'haf has two real hands, but we don't know how? What do they say about this ayah? Do they take it literally? So if you say it means that Al-Quran is preserved from any falsehood from the beginning till the end, what is that term yadayhi? Yadayhi. Where did it go? So they made interpretation. But when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, they want to take everything literally. Those are the mushabbiha. And Imam al-Tahawi is saying our religion is not that religion. That's not our religion. It's between likening Allah to the creations and negating some or all of Allah's attributes. That means we confirm the attributes of Allah. At the same time we say, but not in a way that is like the attributes of the creations. Then he said, between Jabr and denying Qadr. Al-Jabriya, a group, deviant group in the past, claimed that the slave has no will whatsoever. They said he's like a feather suspended in the wind. And the wind takes it right and left. Has no will whatsoever. That's against the Quran. Those are Al-Jabriya, who denied the will of the slave. They said, yeah, the slave has no will. They belied the Quran. Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Look at this ayah in Surah Al-Takwir. Very clear. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ What you will. So Allah Azza wa Jal attributed the will to the slaves. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ What we will is under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's subject to the will of Allah. Meaning, you will something, but if it's something that Allah didn't will for it to happen, it won't happen. Don't you say in your daily life, I want to do this insha'Allah. Why do you add that term insha'Allah? Because if Allah didn't will for you to do it, you won't be able to, no matter what. No matter what. You will to do something, but if Allah didn't will for you to do it, you won't be able to. If Allah willed for you to achieve that thing, you will be able to achieve it. That's why you say, insha'Allah. So we have a will, but it's under the will of Allah. It's controlled by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the meaning of it. So there was a deviant group in the past who denied the will of the slave. Those are called Al-Jabriya. They took that extreme. Another group called the Mu'tazila, they denied the will of Allah Azza wa Jal when the slave has a will, meaning that any voluntary act that you do, according to them, the will of Allah got nothing to do with it. So they say, we do this by our own will. And the will of Allah got nothing to do with it. So who created it? Then they ended up saying, we created it. That made them say that we create our actions. So the Mu'tazila say, if you walk, they say you created walking. When you talk, they say you created talking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belied them in one ayah to show that there is no difference between the voluntary and the involuntary acts. Try to memorize this ayah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي صَلَاةِ Is that a voluntary act or involuntary act? Voluntary act. You do it voluntarily when you pray. And nusuk, it's either the deeds of Hajj. When you do the deeds of Hajj, how do you do them or Umrah? Voluntary. You do it voluntary. You pay for a ticket, go to the plane, and you go and you perform Hajj. So you do that willingly, willfully. وَمَحْيَايَا Your life. Is that voluntary or involuntary? Involuntary. وَمَمَاتِي Your death. Do you control your death? No one would have wished to die. Everyone would have wished to live forever. Look, Allah mentioned two voluntary acts and two involuntary acts in one ayah, followed by the waw al-ataf, this waw, this letter, to show that this is followed by this, this is followed by this. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Meaning created by Allah. So in this ayah, Allah mentioned two voluntary acts and two involuntary acts. And Allah mentioned that they are all created by Allah Azza wa Jal. That means we don't create our deeds. We don't create our deeds. So we don't say, as the Jabriya said, that we have no will. And we don't say, as the Mu'tazila said, that we create our deeds and our acts. Rather, we are in the middle. We say we have will, but our will is controlled by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. also between feeling despair of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and feeling safe from the punishment of Allah. We are in the middle. We don't say that Allah doesn't have the power to forgive. We don't say that Allah doesn't have the power to punish. No. Allah has the power to forgive and Allah has the power to punish. If we obey Allah Azza wa Jal, we hope for His reward. If we disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, we fear His punishment. Remember when we told you, the scholar said, hope and fear are like two wings for a bird. The bird wouldn't be able to fly with one wing. It needs two wings to fly with. So one is hope, one is fear. So the slave is in the middle between fear and hope. That's where you stand. If you disobey Allah, you fear that you might be punished. If you obey Allah, you hope that you will be rewarded. That's where we stand. See, very brief expressions, but they are full of meanings. He said, this is our religion and our creed, outwardly and inwardly. We're not hypocrites. That's what we believe. We don't try to muck around with this glorious religion as those mushabbiha do. One of them was giving a speech once, or a lesson, and he said, all the verses of the Quran must be taken literally. No ta'wil. Maybe you hear that term. They say, at-ta'wil, ta'atil, because their minds, mu'attala, not working. So they say, at-ta'wil, ta'atil, meaning no interpretation. No interpretation. They say no metaphorical meanings. No figure of speech. What is that? They are destroying the language. They are destroying the language. If you ask our brothers and sisters, I know, mashallah, we have a variety of diversity of attendees tonight. In any language in your country, don't you have figure of speech? Of course you do. In English, in French, in African, Pakistani, Turkish, Bosnian, Afghani, don't you have figure of speech? Of course you do. Even in English, you say to a person, give me a hand. Give me a hand. Doesn't mean chop off your hand and give it to me. Keep an eye on him. Doesn't mean take it out and put it on him. That's a figure of speech. That's a figure of speech. So they have even in English. But those ones, they take everything literally. So they're not friends with the language. That person said, all the Quran should be taken literally. And the one who was teaching was blind, in and out, inwardly and outwardly. So his heart is blind from truth, and his eyes are blind as well. So he said the Quran should be taken literally. One person stood up and said, what about this ayah? وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. So if taken literally, it would mean whoever is blind, physically blind in this life, will be blind in the hereafter and in a worse situation. But the ayah doesn't mean this. The ayah means whoever is blind from seeing the truth, although it's prevalent, although it's obvious, clear, but he doesn't want to see it. See how some saw the miracles and they didn't believe? Like those ones, those are blind. They saw the miracles, but they didn't believe. They asked the Prophet to split the moon into two halves. And the Prophet pointed at the moon and was able to split it in two halves. Then they said, he's done magic on us. So they saw the miracle. Not only that, they waited. Because they know magic, witchcraft, sorcery would affect the eyes of the people present in the session. When some convoys of the Arabs came later, they said to them, did you realize on such a night that the moon was split into two halves? They said, yes, we saw that. And they didn't believe. They didn't believe. So they saw the miracles and they didn't believe. Those are blind. So those who are blind from seeing the truth on the day for judgment will be blind from the path that will take him to paradise. This is a nice expression. So you didn't see the path of truth in this life. Now you won't be able to see the path that will take you to paradise. You will see only the path that will take you to hellfire. That's the meaning of it. This is a figure of speech. Very nice. That's the eloquence of the Quran. So when that person stood up and said, what about this ayah? وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. That person is stuck in the corner. He said to him, except for this one. That's what he said, except for this one. This one will interpret it, will give a meaning for it. He won't take it literally. Why? Because it applies to him. In fact, it applies to him. So regardless whether he is physically blind or not, it applies to this person because he is blind-hearted. He can't see the truth. So those people, subhanAllah, are deviated. So Imam Al-Tahawi said, this is our religion and our creed, outwardly and inwardly. With Allah as our witness, we disavow ourselves from whoever disagrees with what we have mentioned and clarified. So as Muslims, we disavow ourselves from whoever disagrees with what we have mentioned and clarified in this creed. We ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us resolute in our faith and to end our lives with it. Ameen. We ask Him to protect us from the various evil inclinations, scattered opinions, and wicked doctrines, such as, look, He mentioned now, because you might say to me, why you are mentioning these groups? Because I know some people would say, why do you talk about these groups? Yeah, because many people didn't talk about them, many people followed them. Look what Imam al-Tahawi said. He said, we disavow ourselves from these people, we disown them, that's the meaning of it. We do not associate with them. Then he said, such as those of the Mushabbiha. That's what he mentioned. Like those who are same ones are present today. Mu'tazila, that's another deviant group we talked about. Jahmiya, the followers of Jahm ibn Safwan, those who deny the attributes. Jabriya, those who say that the slave has no will. Qadariya, those who do not believe in Al-Qadr, those who attribute the creating of the acts to themselves, because the Qadariya are the Mu'tazila, and others who contradicted the Sunnah and Jama'ah and clung to misguidance. So he warned against them. And some people say, why do you warn against them? So people can know. Just imagine now, you know, the hysteria they had when they talked about swine flu, bird flu, what other flus they had. Every now and then, in Africa, Ebola. Now they're talking all over the world about it. If you come from overseas, they scan you. They ask you, did you visit any of the African countries? Why you might be affected or infected with this virus, Ebola, then they might spray you. And so on. Maybe some of our brothers and sisters know this. That's because they are cautious. They don't want people to get this disease and spread it. Would you say to them, this is wrong? Don't talk about Ebola on TV. Don't talk about this disease. Let people get it. Do not give any antidote for this virus. Would you say that? No. If, let us say, you got this virus, supposedly, and you got this virus, it affected you badly, it caused your death. You die as a believer. But if you have the belief of the mushabbiha, that is worse than the swine flu. That is worse than Ebola. Don't you want from the scholars of Islam to give Muslims the antidote for these beliefs? To warn people against these false beliefs? So they can preserve their religion? Of course, that's a must, that's an obligation. I can now talk to you about prophets, righteous Muslims, tell you stories in every lesson. Yeah, but what's more important is what might destroy you. If you catch this disease, the disease of the mushabbiha, mujassima, that will end you up in hellfire forever. So that's the most important thing to be taught to people. Then he said, we disavow ourselves from them, that's to confirm. We consider them deviant and wicked. Look at these terms he's using. We rely on Allah to protect us from sinning and to empower us with obedience. Ameen. By this we conclude explaining the creed of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi. Alhamdulillah for enabling us to explain it. And inshallah ta'ala will be of great benefit for all Muslims, inshallah azza wa jal. Keep revising this creed, keep listening to it. That will guarantee your safety in the hereafter. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant me the sincere intentions and to gather me with you in the highest levels of paradise. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.